If you're thinking about your summer holidays, you might be interested to know that TripAdvisor has compiled a list for 2014 of the most popular travel destinations in the world. It's based on TripAdvisor reviews for hotels and restaurants and various attractions in different cities over a 12-month period. So what's the most popular destination for 2014? What places nearly made it to number one? And how reliable is this list if it's based on TripAdvisor reviews? Well, we asked intrepid traveller himself, Mr. Moncon McGann, to look at the TripAdvisor list. And he may even give some holiday recommendations himself. Crikey. Moncon, you're very welcome to the programme. Where do I start with this list, by the way? What does it mean to you, by the way, the list? I mean,
well, normally I loathe lists. You know, they're just trying to get publicity for an organisation. But this particular list is intriguing. It's like, finally, this cut-off point that something's going to happen. So, you know, a list of great cities, it was always obvious. It was always like, Florence was always there, Madrid was somewhere, Amsterdam, it was obvious, you know, New York. This seems to be the first list of a new sort of paradigm in travel. Basically, 6 of the 10 of the top 25 are Asian. Okay.
Okay, I have to ask then straight away, how real is this?
What do you mean, how real?
Well, I mean, like, you know, should we believe it? Are they saying we can't just keep going Paris and Barcelona and all the rest? I know what we'll do. We'll concentrate on the smaller stuff over here on the left and make it really weird that people talk about it like us.
So, basically, it is inevitable. The paradigm shift is inevitable. The world is turning Asian. You'll accept that. Like, everything has changed. You know,
so it's true.
Yeah, this world that we thought was always a world controlled by Europe is slowly going. But it was hard to see the signs of that. Just look at Dublin Airport now. Look at Etihad. Look at Emirates. They're flying people from Asia in here, not to stop in Ireland, but to go to Europe and then to go back to Asia again.
Yeah.
So everything has changed. And it seems that if any survey is going to be right, it's going to be TripAdvisor. TripAdvisor has 260 million unique users every month. 260
right.
million, you know? I mean, think of that. In 1804, there was only 1 billion people on the planet. Now, a quarter of that number are on TripAdvisor every month. And what they're doing, there's no agenda. They're just clicking on what they happen to like.
All right, so we have to take note. So in taking note with you, give us a bit of rundown on the list in terms of what's the most interesting thing that you've noticed about it, or have you just told us?
Yeah, well, first what you got to see is, okay, so the way they're doing it, people are clicking and they're clicking what sort of accommodation they like, what restaurants, what attractions. And a lot of them seem to be, what we're seeing is that a lot of them seem to be in Asia. And this is the first time, because in the past, Asia was just, you know, in the 60s, you'd go to Kathmandu, you'd go to Delhi, but otherwise, and there was only this elite small group of backpackers.
Well, then what's Asia? What are we talking here?
Yeah. So in the list, there's 10 sort of pop pickers which have risen up at least 10 places or more. And they are Hanoi, capital of Vietnam, a place I've never even thought about much before, Siem Reap in Cambodia. You know, Phnom Penh is the capital of Cambodia. So the only reason Siem Reap is a town. It's a sort of market town in a rice paddy field area.
Angkor Wat.
Exactly.
Listen, I'll tell you, the only reason I'm jumping in now is because half these places I've never been to at all, but I've been to this place.
Yeah,
I've been to Phnom Penh, I've been to Angkor Wat. Yeah.
Exactly. And so that's why. So the only, if you want to go and see the classic temples which have become sort of the 8th wonder of the world, you normally stop off in Siem Reap. And people spend a few more days there just because it's a chilled out place. It has some of that old French legacy, the colonial legacy, these lovely old mansions with the sort of Chinese architecture, which was the dominant architecture in that region. Because these are Khmer. These are poor Khmer farmers and fishermen, even fishing in like
a maybe boat. I wasn't a very good student, but I was there 20 years ago, about 93 or so, and I must say I thought it was a bit of a nothing place to be.
No, you were right. It's gone totally asleep. So in the 60s, it was a cool place to be seen. You know, it was everywhere was the Paris of the East, right? But this was another Paris of the East. And so during the 60s, it was, you know, the rich and the famous and the cool would go there. Then it went to sleep. It went entirely to sleep until the last 5 years. And it now finds itself on number 9 in this hot
list.
Are
we doing a countdown?
I don't know if you'd like a countdown, yeah.
I'll play the music in between. It's number 1111. Yeah. Larry Gogan. Okay, go on. So
the other two,
yeah.
I mean, the other two big Asian places are, and these were in it in the lab of the past few years, are in China. Clearly Beijing and Shanghai.
Oh,
and
I've never been there.
You see, whereas China is, obviously we know China is going to, you know, change the world in every facet, but particularly in tourism. Last year, China spent $102 billion abroad, and it's way more than any other country, any other tourist from any other country have ever spent. In fact, it used to always be Americans and Germans would spend the most abroad. China is spending more than both of those together.
So China's effect on tourism in recent years is huge.
Exactly. It's 83 million tourists leaving from China. That's only the beginning. You know, at the moment, as I say, there's a billion tourists travelling every year. That's going to increase with China. It's
so more people are travelling every year.
And where are they going to go to? They're not coming to Dublin. You know, Americans want to come to Dublin.
Are you telling me Dublin's not on the list?
They're all just going, you know, they're going to go to Malaysia, they're going to Korea, and they're particularly going to Thailand. Thailand have really thought about this. Yeah. How are we going to get the Chinese in there? And so Thailand now has two destinations on the list, clearly Bangkok and Chiang Mai.
Right. Yeah.
And it's interesting because, you know, I mean, Bangkok is not a particularly interesting city. It's just where you have to, you know, land in normally, unless you go straight into Phuket. But it's where you have to land in to enjoy the beaches and the jungles of Thailand. So cities in general aren't a particularly interesting thing. It's often a practical thing. You know, it's where you go, where you base yourself so that you
what
can
is
explore.
Most talked about on TripAdvisor? Is it hotels? Is it beaches? Is it amenities? Is it like, you know, things to see? Or is it like walking through a city like I like to do in New York, say, or something?
Yeah, so basically all of those things. So what they do is every minute they have 90 new reviews posted on it. So basically it is this increasing swarm of things. At the moment there is 150 million listings. But the thing is, how true is it? So the numbers don't lie. Like if there's 260 million people checking it out, that means that they must have some sort of relevancy or accuracy. But the big question is, how easy is it to lie on TripAdvisor? And people do. And so you're often finding cases of false reviews. There was a great account of a pop-up restaurant in Croydon in 2012. And I think, you know, within a few weeks it was going, it had 9 reviews. And it had managed, and these reviews were so positive, that it managed to position itself as number 11 of top restaurants out of 10,000 restaurants in London. Well, there is one thing, you'll sometimes, when you're going through TripAdvisor, watch out for the red badge. The red badge means the TripAdvisor has finally decided to notice that there's a load of corrupt reviews on this particular posting and to take note.
So be wary with a red badge on it, yeah?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, but like, just remember, like, TripAdvisor has 260 million unique monthly visitors, as they'll say here, more than 150 million reviews and opinions covering more than 3.7 million accommodations, restaurants and attractions. Because there's so much, you have to believe that it's most likely kind of generally true.
Yeah, it's pointing up this new into all I'm saying for this list is it's pointing up this new shift in the world that everything is moving towards Asia.
Okay, well then let's get back to looking at that list itself. I mean, like, what kind of places should or shouldn't be there or have been there and are not there anymore?
Okay, well the one big sort of controversy, and I do believe this is a manipulated controversy, that Paris is not the number one spot. Paris is always going to be the number one city in the world, no matter what paradigm changes.
Everybody in America who wants to go abroad on a holiday always seems to want to go to Paris. But is everybody from everywhere else who goes abroad on holiday want to go to Paris as well? These Chinese you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. You see, this is tricky. So the Chinese first are going to go to Thailand. Chinese are learning how to travel. You know, you've gone into this, like the Communist Party have sent out a book to Chinese people to teach them how to travel. Like there was embarrassing cases in Melbourne recently where their first trip they'll go in package tours, clearly. Yeah. You know, we've all done that. That's what we do. We've all learned to travel. Like, you know, tourism is a new thing. The first package tour was in 1950, left from Gatwick. This is, you know, a new concept for all of us. For China, it's only been in the last 10 years. Right. So they organised these package trips, and there was a package trip to Australia, and their tour leader said, look, you're leaving from cold Beijing, you're going to arrive in hot Australia, so we'll change when we get off the plane. And so they arrived in the reception hall, stripped all their clothes off, down to their underwear, and then put on their other clothes. And so there's cases, there's these stories of the, you know, the way there was always the story of the obnoxious American traveller. That's all changed now to China. And it's temporary. Within 5 years, Chinese are going to be the most sophisticated travellers. First they go to Thailand, then they want to go to the places that we all went to.
You know, you've whetted our appetite now. If Paris is only number two, what's number one? We won't get to number one just yet. Let's think, like, London, I presume, and Paris are still up there at the very top.
Yeah, London hasn't moved. London is still at number zero, like it's still number three, where it's always going to be in the top few. What's interesting is Marrakesh is above Paris. So Marrakesh has jumped up 13 places. And again, you see, it's Asian. It's, you know, it's Islamic, so it has an oriental feel, and yet it's in Europe. So everything about this is pointing to this move. Marrakesh, though, you know, it's an interesting town. I mean, the market square, this lovely old medieval Berber market square, is atmospheric. And it's sort of Disney-fied. You're seeing the snake charmers and the spice sellers and the fire eaters and the acrobats. I presume you've been to Morocco.
I have not, no.
I would have thought Dave was a Moroccan person. No,
I let the Led Zeppelins of this world and I'll do it for me. No, yeah. But I know what you mean. And you haggle about scarves.
You all that thing. Yeah, exactly. And so it's, you know, Fez is the big city. Fez has the best Medina, but it's slightly aloof. Marrakesh is open to party and it's got all these lovely riads, you know, these traditional medieval courtyard hotels, which is the boutique place to go. And the good thing about Morocco, or Marrakesh in particular, it's not just about the past. There's a thriving art and sort of alternative music scene there. So Marrakesh is a deserving place, you know, city for the list. But whether it should be over Paris or over New York, it's like poor New York is only number 12. It's dropped 10 places in the listing.
And is that surprising to you, or with what you've been talking about there for the last while? Well, yeah, why wouldn't it be down that far?
For me, I think that's cynical manipulation. I think the Paris and New York rankings, dropping them down a bit is just so that people talk about them, so that American, you know, news organisations will get interested and get shocked to see their...
Like, for instance, they have in the top 25, like there's St. Petersburg, Russia, at number 16.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've never been to St. Petersburg. I've been to Moscow, actually, but I've never been to St. Petersburg. But, like, they feel, we've got to put a Russian one in there somewhere.
Well, and St. Petersburg is a worthwhile thing. I've never been either, but that seems like a good thing. You're right. It does seem a bit like, as you say, you'll find one place from Africa, one place from South America.
Yeah,
you're quite right. Like Cape Town, South Africa, you know, that's the tame choice. Rio de Janeiro isn't on this list, I noticed. But what did they won where they went for?
Well, Buenos Aires there, number 14, I see. And Barcelona's 15. I mentioned St. Petersburg, then Dubai. And just for the last ones, it's Chicago, which I've never been to either. Cape Town, never been there. Bangkok, Budapest, Sydney, Lisbon, Chiang Mai, which you've mentioned already, and San Francisco is number 25. So, like, you know, there's a good mix of everything
Budapest
there.
Budapest is interesting, you know, because that's, again, that would have been a sleepy Eastern European city, and it's slightly becoming cool. It's taken over from Prague. Like, Prague is just over-touristified. So I like the fact that they're checking things out. And Lisbon is also a new addition.
But Prague is there at number 5
now. Yeah, it's always going to be there.
Let's just take that Eastern European thing and then get to where I want to go here, because I haven't been to any of those places in Eastern Europe at all. I haven't been to Prague or Budapest or anything else. Are they all, am I really being mean in saying that they seem to me all to be a bit one of the same, probably? Like I'd toss a coin which one I'd go to.
Yeah, there's a point. You know, do you remember when they all joined the EU in 2004, there was the EU accession states, and every media organisation went out and did the trip through them all. And me and my brother went down to do a series for RT, EU, The New Frontier. And we met basically every media organisation in Estonia, and we were going through, you know, Tallinn, down through Lithuania, Latvia, Czech Republic, Hungary, Slovakia. And it was in snow particularly. When the whole place is snow-clad and you're seeing the same nice medieval stone-clad buildings, the cobblestone old squares, the castle on the hill, the church, you know, there is a sense that they do look quite alike. But I would encourage people to avoid Prague now. Prague just has had way too many tourists. You're not going to get an authentic feel. Whereas in Budapest, you still have this looming, gloomy sense, particularly in Buda. Buda was the old town, the old medieval palace, and the palace is still there on the hill. Pest was this industrial 19th century layout of boulevards on the other side of the Danube.
Okay, well then take an older age rather than somebody like and the people who do the old city breaks and try and go for 3 or 4 days whatever to the Eastern Europe thing, which I've never done. If you were a bit short of cash but you were in need of a city break and you had some time off and you were working and were very glad to have a job, which city, or which, I presume we're talking Eastern Europe here, and let's stay here, which would you recommend?
I'd look, because as you say, it's horrible to say that they're similar, but they're not. If I would look at where the cheapest Ryanair flight was, where there was to Tallinn in Estonia, which is gorgeous. Budapest immerses you. Like, it's gloomy still, which in one way it's good.
That's,
you know,
part of the attraction, I would imagine.
Yeah. Next week I'm going to spend a month in Berlin, and I'm doing it thanks to Airbnb. You know, you can now find accommodation for €600 for a month. Now, you know, in the old days you'd be spending that for 2 days or 3 days in a hotel.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm always looking, where can I get the cheap flight to, and where can I get, you know, easy accommodation. Poor Slovakia still gets a hard deal, and there's some lovely parts of Slovakia. It's never going to make the top 25, unfortunately.
Okay, well, in the top 10 we have Shanghai from China at 10. You've mentioned Cambodia and Hanoi and Paris, and then Marrakesh is 6. Prague is there at 5, doing very well still, but too touristified as far as you're concerned. Beijing in China is number 4. London 3. Rome in Italy, we haven't really mentioned mention too much about Rome. That's still got the same. Like, I mean, how can Paris be down so far at 7 and Rome be at number 2?
I know.
Again,
Rome,
am I making the two of them sound the
it's
same?
It's weird. And Italy has two. Yeah, the Asian people are going to want to cross off their list. In the same way as we go to Africa and they want to see the elephant, they want to see the hippo, the leopard. You know, Asian people come here, they're going to, they've heard about Rome, they want to see. I spent a month in Christmas in one of the Greek islands, in Santorini. There wasn't one tourist. I was the only tourist except for Chinese. And Chinese had seen on a film, there's a lot of films are showing these Greek movies, I suppose Mamma Mia, and then weddings, the rich elite cadres, Communist Party cadres in Asia, are going to the Greek islands. So the Chinese are just going just to take the photo and move on. So somehow Rome still has that. Once they've taken the photo of the famous fountain, the bridges. But two places in Italy, Florence made it too. And what's interesting, because we often say that the Asians only want to shop on holidays, okay? And that's why Dubai is there. You're not going to go to Dubai for culture. You're going to go there for the duty-free shops and the bad beaches. But in Florence, there's nothing there. You know, well, there's designer Italian gear, but, you know, the Asians aren't really going to fit into that. Basically, you're going for Michelangelo's wonders. You're going for the Duomo, for Santa Maria del Fiore. And that's interesting. So we're still travelling as much for culture as we are for shopping.
Now, hold on, when you say we, and I don't mean to be exclusive here, but the we has now changed because there's an extra billion people there, because you started off by saying that Chinese people are now in their droves becoming tourists. And that's changing, that's the paradigm shift.
Yeah, so because we're in the nexus, we're exactly in this middle point between where we controlled tourism.
Yeah, exactly.
To only in the last 4 years, China has, and they're at 83 million tourists in 2012. They're increasing every year by like 5 or 6%. So every year their effect is going to be bigger. And then I'm just saying China because they're the first. Then it's going to be Indonesia, it's going to be Malaysia, Indian, middle class India are already travelling. And we as Ireland, if we caught on to what they wanted, you know, if we start introducing more of that Asian food, we can capitalise.
But I'm just thinking of an age group that, like, for instance, between, I don't know, like 17 and 21, when you have to get that backpack and off you go and do the, you know, interrailing or whatever it happens to be. Just say from Ireland, aren't an awful lot of Irish people now going to Thailand who 20 years ago would never even know where Thailand was?
Yeah.
Of that age group.
Yeah, they are. You're going to make me depressed now because really they're going to Australia and they stop off in Thailand.
Right.
Like, you know, the way that concept of backpacking, of taking a gap year, taking years off that you knew and that I knew and that everyone in London was doing, you know, in the 80s and up into the mid 90s, I just don't see it so much. I see everyone stopping off in Thailand on the way back or on the way to see friends in Australia. But yeah, I mean, you know, clearly it's the easy place to go if you want nice beaches and massage. And sort of great party, you know. That's always going
to. Okay, let's get to it's number 1111. They should have the music. 1111111.
Yeah.
Straight in at number one. What
and
is
this
it?
Just hits home.
Now, we're talking here about TripAdvisor and we're talking about the fact that this is as good an indication or a barometer of anything else could possibly be.
Out of the 260 million reviews posted on TripAdvisor last year.
Back after the break.
A special algorithm. They worked out what the city was. It's Istanbul.
And Istanbul.
Istanbul.
Not Constantinople.
But it just reinforces my whole concept of this East versus West. Like, what has Istanbul always represented?
Where is Turkey? Turkey, for God's sake, is in the Eurovision Song Contest. Does that mean it's in Europe? Some of it is. Is it Asia? Where is it?
Well,
exactly?
The intriguing thing about Istanbul, it's in both. In Istanbul, you can have a foot in Asia and a foot in Europe.
Really? So the line goes down there in the city?
Yeah, like, so there's the Bosphorus. So, you know, you remember the Dardanelles from the First World War, the Dardanelles. So there's the Aegean Sea, you know, which is like the Greek islands are all in the Aegean Sea and they go up towards the Turkish coast. OK. And, you know, when you're swimming in off the Turkish coast in Bunbeg. I can't remember.
Bodrum.
Thank you. Yeah. That's the Aegean Sea. And then there's a tiny little split of sea, a sort of canal, which is the Dardanelles. It goes into the Sea of Marmara, which is this inland sea. And then it goes out again through the Bosphorus into the Black Sea. So it's a very complicated little nexus. And that's exactly where Istanbul sits. So Istanbul always sat on... you know, if the Middle East was the cradle of civilization, which it is, then Istanbul was always the stepping stone, the bridge between for that civilization to spread out into the world. And like the capital of the Roman Empire, the Eastern Roman Empire, then the capital of Christianity when Constantine.
So if I was to ask you the question, what's the attraction? You're answering the question. Is this it? Is this why I would want to? I've never been to Istanbul.
Yeah, according to my thesis that I've been developing, this isn't according to any other thing in the world. This is, no, but clearly, I mean, you know, Istanbul is recognised as where the East meets the West.
Okay, who's going there? Are the Chinese, are the Americans, or the rest of Europe?
Well, you see, what I'm claiming is that everyone must be going there.
Yeah, exactly. What's number one?
And what's interesting, like, Istanbul is at the moment the sixth. Turkey in general is the sixth most most popular place for tourists to go.
I went to Turkey sometime. I'll tell you, it's one of those like holidays where you just go in and you get taken out. And I don't know where I was.
Yeah,
I certainly wasn't in Istanbul.
No, well, you wouldn't. Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't think it's in 2 years' time it's going to be the fourth most populous place in the world, most populous tourist destination. I would never have thought of that. Like, you know, no. We still have the image of Turkey that Oliver Stone gave us with Midnight Express.
Yeah, is that gone? Is it the Midnight Express look? Because that was pretty like down there. I believe he apologized for that, which I don't know what he was apologizing for, frankly.
Oh, come on, he ruined the reputation of a whole.
Yeah, but I mean, like, he was making a movie that, like, you know, was a story.
Yeah, but we were more gullible.
Fantastic John Hurt, for God's sake.
That's right, but we didn't travel so much. So if someone told us out there is evil and dark, because, you know, do you remember how affected you were by that movie?
Yeah.
And I would think, God, beyond Ireland is really dangerous. I'm only going to go to the Costa del Sol.
Yeah.
And that's why when people.
I gave up transporting drugs over barriers, over borders when I saw that. I said, no.
Yeah, you see, so we did have this reputation. And to be fair, Istanbul aren't doing great for their reputation the last year. You know, there's been massive street protests. There's been a huge corruption scandal. The Islamic forces are getting more and more oppressive there. And yet it doesn't seem to have any dent on the tourist numbers.
Hold on a second. Where is TripAdvisor? Where's the central office? Who runs this? Who are these people?
TripAdvisor is in it was founded in 2000. It's in a place in America, some boring town that I looked up, North Dakota or something. There's only 2,000 employees. Like, you know, basically they control the world. They control our opinions. They shape and manipulate our opinions on the world. And basically, the big question is, how does TripAdvisor make its money? Okay, we just see the nice side of TripAdvisor where we can check out a hotel. There's TripAdvisor for Business also. And what they do is they use this 260 million people every month on their site to channel them towards businesses, to give advice to businesses about what they should do.
So, okay, listen, just one last thing about Istanbul. Is it good price-wise? Is your euro good there?
Yeah, well, one reason it's got popular, it's amazing for the dollar at the moment, and it's particularly good for the euro. And the more controversies in Istanbul, the Turkish money goes down, the dirham. But the thing is, if you want an affordable holiday in Istanbul, stay out of Sultanahmet. Sultanahmet is like the Temple Bar, lovely area, great party, great historical sites. But if you go to a suburb,
Mancon, if I was going to any of these places, I'd like to be going with you. It would be a fascinating journey. Now, tell me just one last thing about Berlin. What are you up to in Berlin?
I just want to write. I want to go. You know,
write what?
Write a novel. I'm going to write. I'm in midway of some novel. But what I do, like, I live in Westmeath, okay? But I try and spend a month, three different months. In different parts of the world. So I think last year I spent 2 months in Paris, a month in Reykjavik, and a month in Morocco. And you can do it for as cheaply as you live in Ireland. And it means you write a lot better, you concentrate a lot better abroad.
Well, listen, good luck with the writing.
Thank you
good
so much.
Good night, Mancon McGann, thanks a million for dropping in to talk to us.